I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Purpose Talk Radio. This is Mama Red, temporarily filling in for Cindy, and I am so glad you're here, whether it's morning, noon, afternoon, or late at night. We're really, really glad to have you here. Looking forward to sharing with you about being on purpose and how to deal with your purpose when it feels really, really too big for what you think you can do. So we're looking forward to what you have to say, what you want to do, and how this works for you. What is your big purpose? If you're signed in on the chat, do go ahead and share with us on the chat. What's up for you when it comes to working on your purpose? One of the big things about living your purpose is figuring out what it is and giving yourself permission to live that purpose, even when it seems huge, overwhelming. Oh my goodness, how could you possibly have that purpose because you don't have the skills, the knowledge, the wisdom, the whatever, to actually go ahead, put that purpose in motion, live it, and be part of it. And boy, can I relate, because as I worked on my journey, which started back in 92, actually, about discovering what it was like to live on purpose, about discovering what it was like to be part of something bigger, even though you didn't quite know what that bigger was, and to figure out what my specific role was in it. And man, oh man, as I started going forward and I started learning more about purpose, I literally walked away from it. I thought, this is too big. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. Somebody else has got to do it. And what I do know about looking for your purpose in life is knowing that what you're here to do, you can do. Even if it scares the socks off of you, it can be done. And it's understanding that once you know that, it's like everything conspires to help you find that one little thing you may need, whether it's a person, a tool, a technique, a book, something that will help you take the steps. Because what I want you to understand about having a purpose that seems way bigger than what you're capable of doing, that is way bigger than anything you think you know how to do, is that you don't have to do it all at once. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so scary, is all of a sudden we get, oh yeah, this is my purpose, woo! And then we think, oh my God, I have to do it all at once, which is so not true. And it's what keeps a lot of us, including me, my hands waggling in the air, keeps so many of us from actually taking just that first step, and that's all you've got to take. And several years ago, I was attending an event, really enjoying it, having a good time, you know, listening to the speakers, writing notes, because I'm a massive note taker. So I'm taking all this down and writing and writing and writing. And it was really weird because I had this sense that I had written something, but I didn't know what it was. And I looked down and there were these words written on the paper. And I thought, there is no way I would write those words because that, no, that's too big. And here's what I had written. I had written, I help women be so selfish that they discover their gifts and so unselfish they use them to transform the world. Now, I got to tell you, all sorts of body parts twisted in fear. I wanted to scribble it out. I even showed it to my friend at the event, and I said, that's not even my handwriting, and she was in awe. She said, you're right, it's not. And right at that moment, the woman speaking said, you'll know when it's your naked originality, when it uses words that you wouldn't normally use. And I thought, oh, yeah, I was taught the word selfish was bad, 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 and wrong. And there was no way that I was going to set out to teach women to be selfish, because that was bad and wrong. And besides that, who was I? Who was I to teach anybody anything when I had stuff that I couldn't do well, things that I struggled with, things that I had screwed up so badly I thought I could never recover? Who was I to go out and teach other women about living their purpose, about stepping into something bigger than who they were? And it was terrifying because, first of all, it seemed really big, and, you know, in point of fact, it is. But the thing we forget is we don't have to do it alone. We don't have to be in this alone. In fact, it's a really not good thing to think you have to be in it alone, because the only way we're going to really help people and make a big difference in the world to do these transformational things that I know every one of you listening is all about, even if it scares the socks off of you, it's what you're about because you know you want something better for the world than what there is right now. And man, I wrote that thing down. Yeah, right. I'm going to go out and teach women how to be so selfish they transform the world. What? So I put it aside. I wasn't going to do this. And time went by, and I would tell a few people about it, and I actually spoke about it at the event. People thought it was really cool. But it was like I was so scared of it that I put walls up. And who knows how many people could have stepped in to help me with that mission, to live that purpose, if I had just allowed it and wasn't so scared that I thought it was way beyond me and I was doing this what I call false humility thing, because I was taught that the only way to be a good woman was to be humble and all these things, which I did to my own detriment. So I kept kind of doing a little bit here and a little bit there. And in 2011, I launched a website called The Selfish Formula, and I had a unique way of spelling selfish. It was all caps, S-E-L-F-I-S-H, and it's an acronym. And that was when I started realizing that maybe I could do it, and here's what it stands for. Self-care, energized by loving forgiveness, invigorated by spirit healing. And when that came about as that kind of first step, it was really cool. So I launched a website and bought the URL, launched a website, got all sorts of pretty stuff, started some things, and got really, really sick. Got sicker. Couldn't get back to it, couldn't finish, couldn't keep going. And interestingly enough, the site got taken down in a scam, phishing scam, and so the site had to be, you know, put on hold. Got sicker again. And each time I tried to step into it, I got really, really scared. So when we talk about something feeling like it's too big for you, I get it. But the way you deal with something too big is you break it down into really small, doable bits. And if even the word selfish, like it did me, scares you, that's okay. It's okay. You get to be scared, you get to take steps, and you get to do exactly the step that you're ready for. And when you do that, people step in to help. And maybe it's a little bit, maybe it's just a smile. Right at the time you were thinking you weren't capable, maybe it's a smile. But the one thing I have learned about doing all of this is the greatest way you can live your purpose, even if or especially if it seems like it's way too big, is when you partner with other people, when you get with other like-minded people who either have a similar purpose, the same purpose, have different experiences, have different ideas about how it could work, and you partner with them so that you can do what you want to do. Because I will tell you, purpose can seem really big. And you know what? Sometimes that purpose is to be a great mom or a great dad or a great auntie or a great friend. Just because it's the word purpose doesn't mean it has to be this huge, all-encompassing, affect everybody all over the world at one time type thing. So that's one way, is you break it down into something smaller, more doable, and keep on taking steps that work for you. So it doesn't have to all be done at once, okay? That's one thing I really, really want you to understand, is it doesn't have to all be done at once. Fair enough? Excellent. I am so glad that that is where you are. The second thing is understand that you can make this as big or small as you want. And you know what? It's still going to go out into the world. It's still going to go out and make a difference. And even if you think you want to run away from it, waggling my arm in the air again because I've done so, even if you think you want to run away from it, it will be there. It will be there. And the thing I know is no matter who you are, no matter how small or big you think you are, you would not be given that purpose if it wasn't for you to do. And it can take as long or short a time as it takes. So the next hint I have for you in living your purpose is to take the pressure off. Don't put so much pressure on yourself that you think, oh my God, this is huge, I can't do this, I'm too small. Every single one of you, every single one of you listening, every single one of us on this planet has what we need to do what we're here to do once we change our thinking. If you think, I'm too small for this, yeah, I get it. You're going to feel like it's too big and you're too small. And you know what? You're not. You're not. It's what you think you are. So what if, just if you play along with me for a minute, what if you weren't too small? What if this was like walking into a department store and you go to the perfectly sized rack for whatever you need, no matter what size that is, and you have the perfect outfit to put on? And what if your purpose is like that? What if the only thing that feels too small is that you just aren't used to thinking that big? Sounds kind of like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But you know what? That's usually what it is. It's what we believe ourselves capable of. It's what we believe we can do. It's how small we hold ourselves when this picture seems so big. And quite frankly, a lot of us, and I find this in my coaching work, I find it with my own self, we think it's too big because we've had some kind of life experience that's been crappy. We've had life smack us down. We've had a hard time. We've done something where it seemed like, oh yeah, I tried that, but it didn't work. But here's the question for you. What if that's an ingredient in your purpose? What if that illness, that divorce, that child being ill, that parent being lost, that abuse, that financial challenge, what if that was an ingredient in your purpose? What if that was the ingredient that you needed to be able to cook up that delicious recipe called my purpose? How would it feel then? Because if you think about it, every recipe has a bunch of small ingredients, and some of them are bitter, and some of them are sweet, and you need all of them for it to be the right recipe. So what if you were to play the game, what if? Just a thought. You don't have to do anything about it. And this is what I do when I coach, is we're not going to do anything about it. We're just going to play this game right now. Because, see, I do, my stage in the world is that I work with women business owners, but we work on their mindset, too, because that's what affects them being able to run that business. And so we play this game of what if. What if for a moment we take that fear that we're not big enough, we're not good enough, we don't have the right skills, the I don'ts, and we're going to send them out to play. Pick your most favorite location. Mine happens to be Santorini, Greece. Never been there, but I just had this thing. So when those fears come up, I send them out to play on the beach in Santorini with the instructions that they can come back if I do anything life-threatening, dangerous, injurious to myself or others. But in the meantime, they get a break because those fears of being too small, those fears of what I can't do, are the things that have gotten us to the age we are today. They've had a role, but you know what? When you send them out to play, sometimes they go out and play and they never come back. Other times they come back, but you can send them out to play again. So what if while you're sitting here thinking about living your purpose and it feels really big, you go, you know, I hear you, fear. I hear you. And for right now, I want you to go take a break. The adult me is going to hang out for a bit and is going to do what needs done for now. And you can come back and play in a little bit for the next, let's say, 20 minutes. I'm just going to focus on how it feels to think, yeah, I can do this. Yeah, I can inspire women to be so selfish they discover their gifts and so unselfish they use them to transform the world. Yeah, I'm going to see. My practice is just going to be saying that phrase for now until my stomach quits hurting, until my heart quits fluttering, until my brain quits going, oh, my God, you can't do that. That's bad, 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 bad. So what if you gave that a try? What if? What if you set a timer for a certain number of minutes and for that time just said, for that many minutes, I'm going to believe I'm capable? How would that feel? What would that be like? What could you do if you just took that few minutes to do that? Would that make it less frightening? Or what if you looked at that purpose and said, whoa, that is like really huge and I'm way too small to do that big thing? And said, who do I know that could help? Who do I know that could partner with me to help me deal with the fear? Who do I know that would allow me to take one step? Because that's the only thing you need to do is take one step. That's it. One. You don't have to do the whole thing in a moment. That's all. It's one step. Oh, I'd like to welcome our guest to the show. How are you doing? Are you there, caller?
Nope, nope.
Yeah,
hi there.
I'm your host.
You're just playing host today.
Like that. You're being bigger than
you ever thought you'd be today, right?
Actually, we have a pretty bad echo coming in. Is there something I need to do
to make that go away? Put my headset. Yep, I'm trying to finish the setup here. Put my headset on and
get rid of the other stuff. Get rid of the phone.
Let's try that.
Glad to have you on the call.
Yeah. Thanks for jumping in.
You're so welcome. I am so glad that you're here. I was just sharing with you know, how you can break up your purpose into small amounts so it doesn't seem so overwhelming and you don't seem so small when you look at this big purpose. And one of the things I learned as I came clear about my purpose is the fact that just the wording felt overwhelming. Just the wording felt too big, you know? And I got clear on mine a few years ago at an event when I looked at a piece of paper, and on this piece of paper it said, I help women be so selfish they discover their gifts and so unselfish they use them to transform the world. And I thought, no. And the words I said can't be shared on public radio.
True.
Because I thought, there is no way. No way. First of all, the word selfish, oh, dear Lord, that's just bad and wrong. You know, who teaches somebody how to be selfish? You know, that's just bad and wrong. So what I've learned on my journey to take something so big is kind of you know, break it into bite-sized pizzas, and sometimes I just flat ignore it. I just don't do what I'm here to do because it's just too much for me to handle. How about you?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm trying to figure out where the echo is. So
I'm get out of I'm no longer hearing it.
I hear it on my side. I hear two different
Are
things
you?
Coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If anybody's in the chat room and want to let us know, that would be appreciated.
The ones I'm seeing have logged out, so I don't see anybody to ask right now.
Okay.
To see if they're getting the same kind of echo. I'm not, so I'm not hearing it, so I can't help troubleshoot it.
Okay, good. Yeah. So, yes. Well, today it was take this big piece of buses late, systems not doing what I'm supposed to do or what I think it's supposed to be doing. There, I just go to the echo. And go, okay, what's next? We make a phone call and see how we can bite-size this into something smaller and let it be handled. Because, you know, we weren't having a third show in the month fall apart. The other two were Blog Talk Radio problems. This one was home internet problems. So, yes, all you can do is, you know, one step and whatever is possible at the time and then go from there. That's what I've kind of discovered, too. You know, if you try to take, you know, what do they say? If you try to swallow the whole elephant at once, there's no way it's going to happen. It's just going to choke you.
Exactly.
So,
well,
yeah.
And I know that for me, there's been ingredients added, ingredients taken away for my purpose to understand, you know, what it's here. But I know that what I'm here and what I'm all about is getting messages into the world. And
mm-hmm.
it took me quite a few years, in fact, into my mid-50s, before a lot of this kind of coalesced into something where I saw the next steps. I saw what I could do. And I've run away from it so many times, it's not even funny. Because it just seems too big, too much, too something. And you know what? Sometimes that's what we get to do. Sometimes we get to say, yeah, I know what it is. For now, too bad.
Right.
I'm not going to work on it. I'm just simply not going to work on it. And for me, it was understanding that that was okay and giving myself permission to be that powerful and permission to be that big and permission to be that, oh, Lord have mercy, out there, you know, declaring this big thing. Because that conversation of, you know, kind of who do you think you are, and a famous one in my family was don't get too big for your britches.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, we look at the picture that you've sent me, though. I'll be honest with you. It's like, you know, look at the name that you've got. You know,
uh-huh.
the color red is out there. It says
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of stuff to a whole lot of people.
It does.
You know, the first thing, you know, I think of, you know, Red Hat Society, where the women just, it's like, who cares? I'm my age. I don't care. I'm not blocking that from anybody. I am who I am. We're going to go have fun. You know.
Exactly.
You think of the color red as...
And it's interesting because coming to the Mama Red name and not only taking it a little bit but declaring it and stepping into it and essentially shutting off my other identity, even though not on a legal basis. You know, it's not like you can go to some court of record and find the name Mama Red Knight in there.
Mm-hmm.
That was huge for me. And it took me about 7 years to... step into that name, to step into my voice, to step into the way I write, to step into the way I speak, and say, it's okay. It's okay to be that big of a person. It's okay to be that name. It's okay to, you know, have a, quote, non-professional image on your profiles, even on LinkedIn, for heaven's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took me a process of about 7 years, and I, in about year 7, declared that I am Mama Red. There are a few people that still call me by my legal name, but no others do.
But no others do.
It is. I had somebody ask the other day, what do you want me to call you? And I said, Mama Red. And I didn't hesitate. And it was... those almost surreal moments when I said it and then realized I meant it. So, yeah, you know, it's a big declaration. It's a big thing to step into, and it's taken me a long time. I started my personal development journey in 92. So where are we? 2014?
Interesting. So did you give these folks your background?
Did I what?
Did you give our listeners your background?
No. I just launched into talking about purpose.
Tell you what, let me back up just a little bit here then. Let's officially welcome you into the show. And, you know, I don't want to cut what you were saying, but it sounded like you were having people think a little bit. So I'll let them think over the introduction of who and what they're listening to at the moment. How's that?
Go for it.
Well, folks, you are listening to Purpose Talk Radio. If you haven't figured it out, it's Life with a Purpose. And all of our guests do talk about how they have come to know that life is their purpose, how they achieved it, and what you might want to be able to do so you can find your own purpose. I am Cindy Freeman, your host. Yeah, today your host was Mama Red Knight for a little bit, which is our guest. I appreciate the stepping in and appreciate that, you know, she has enough technology background that I could say, here, go here, go here, and it worked, and it was great, because I know some of my guests, I'd say that, and they go, oh, my God, no way, and we just wait for another 10 or 15 minutes until I got on. And I apologize for being a little late with the technology and the bus system and all kinds of stuff, but I just got to go with it, like we said this morning. You know, and I know my purpose is to just walk every day in spirit and do whatever I'm supposed to do to get where I'm supposed to be at any time. So the song that you heard to bring you in is called I Am Who I Am by the group True Trinity. That is myself, Rachel Martinez, and Jillian Clark, whose voice you heard on that. And that is a song that you can get at TrueTrinity.com. As far as Purpose Talk Radio is concerned, if you want to find out about our guests, upcoming shows, past shows, how to donate, how to maybe sponsor and get your information out to our wonderful listeners who all want to know about their purpose, you can go to PurposeTalkRadio.com. You can send an email to me at Cindy@PurposeTalkRadio.com. Now, I'd like to officially introduce you to that wonderful lady who was sitting behind the host mic for a little bit. And I was going to give her name, which is on Facebook, but I'll see if you want to connect with her. You connect with her on Facebook and you'll find out the given name, or at least the more legal name. I'll go with the bio that she has given me. So Mama Red Knight collaborates with socially conscious small businesses to create big picture strategies and to find next doable steps that build their bank account and reach more people, make sure they are having fun doing it. She uses her 30 years as a business strategist to...
Cindy, we just lost you.
Okay.
You're back.
That was interesting. I haven't touched anything. Okay, yeah. I guess that word sexy got me, you know, stumbled on it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because it didn't come across. I didn't hear. You just suddenly dropped out.
Oh, that's funny. Good Lord. Okay, let's try again. But Mama Red uses her 30 years as a business strategist to big honking companies to turn the unsexy, overwhelming, behind-the-scenes stuff into a sexy back end for their businesses so they can focus on what they do best and love most. Whether struggling to change the content beastie, and that's a trademark of hers, one bite-sized bit at a time, streamlining systems, mastering the business owner's mindset, or finding the techie stuff for the job. I wonder why she was able to grab this techie. She's relishing the idea of making a kick-ass difference in the world. So welcome officially, Mama Red, and I do appreciate you stepping in and being here with us to share your purpose, your being, and who you are with us today.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Sorry it ended up with a recording that may or may not have done what you wanted.
It's not my picture.
You know, it is what it is, right?
It's you know, like I say, it's what it is. It's spirit. It's led. You know, I really don't plan Mondays to a big extent. You know, I know
I do have some idea, you know, we got to do the promo stuff and who and what are you and all that kind of stuff, you know, which we will get into. You know, I ask people how they come to know what their purpose, and beyond that, that's all I got planned for Monday, you know, and I know that things have to get passed out on Facebook and they have to get put out on the internet and the show has to be, you know, all that kind of stuff. But other than that,
the process, if you will.
Right. You know, that stuff has to be there, or we get nobody to listen, you know. And as I say that, I'm going to switch over to Facebook and put up the thread, too, for people to be able to put in what resonates with them, ask any questions. You know, we do have the chat room open on the Blog Talk Radio, Purpose Talk Radio site. We also, in a few moments, will have the one over on the Facebook page, Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. The Purpose Talk Radio Conversations does stay up all week, so if you are listening to the archives of the show, please feel free to come on over there and comment and post as you deem fit. As I see, she just puts up there. This is that's the thread for last week. Anyway, I'm putting the other one up here in a second. So you can talk over there, ask any questions during the week as you might end up coming in later or whatever. What I'd like to ask you, though, is how did you come to know what your purpose is? Not necessarily, you kind of talked briefly about what you do, but how did you actually come to know what that purpose was? Was there a turning moment?
Yeah,
whatever.
There actually was. And this may be a duplicate for people who were listening earlier, but you know, I'll share it with you because knowing what my purpose was always important to me, but it felt like every time I kind of got close to anything that seemed like a purpose, I would run away from it. And several years ago, I was attending an event, and a person was talking, and I was writing notes, and I'm a massive note taker, right? Taking massive notes, I could probably scribe half of what was said. And I looked down on my piece of paper, and there was a statement there. And I swear to you, on stacks of all that is holy, it was not my handwriting. And it said, I teach women to be so selfish they discover their gifts, and so unselfish they use them to transform the world. Freaked out. I mean, totally, completely freaked out. And right at that time, the woman who was doing the presentation said, you'll know it's your naked originality when the words are not ones you would normally use. And I'm like, check. You'll know that it is naked originality when something like, it isn't something you would normally do. And I'm like, check. You know it's your naked originality when there will be people who disagree with you. I'm like, check, 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 check. And it's when I saw that, it made sense. There was a part of me that went, yeah, it just settled. It was almost like putting on a blanket or a coat or, you know, something where it just settled on you.
Right.
And it was fine for about 2 seconds until my brain got involved. You know, and as soon as my brain got there, it was like, you're too small to do this. Who do you think you are? You're getting too big for your britches. Every script that it ever said, play small. You know, stay small, don't put your name out there, don't do this, don't do that, was like having a heyday, total heyday with me. And we had an opportunity to step up to the front and speak, and the woman I was sitting with, whom I had met at the event, kept pushing me to go forward. And I was like, no, 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 there's other people that need to talk. She goes, no, no, you need to share this. She says, I mean it. You need to share this. I was like, no, 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 no. Because for as out there as I am and as strong personality as I am, I still have this good girl script that plays a lot. A lot. And so she kept pushing, and I went up there, and I kind of stood there waiting at the side of the stage, and there was other people there. And I look back at her, and she's waving me to go on before somebody else could walk on the stage because somebody had come up to the other side. And I did what I rarely do, and that is I literally stepped up onto the stage and took the stage before the other person could get on the stage. And I talked about what had happened, and to this day, I don't remember what I said. I know it was spirit-led, and I had people coming up to me for the remainder of the thing. We had a dinner that night that said, oh, my God, you were so inspiring. oh, it's so amazing. You have to find your purpose like that, blah, 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 blah. And I'm still clueless. I'm walking around like I'm in a daze. And that was in 2007. And I came back charged up, scared, and had a really serious health issue a few months before this and then had another one. So it took me a while before I kind of settled into it. And I say that my purpose is to do that, and my mission is to make sure voices are heard, messages shared, and the world transformed. And that one, I am just now getting to the point where, you know, it kind of settles on me where I don't have my stomach go glurp. But when I got clear on the purpose and I got clear on my big why, it made all the difference in my world. And it doesn't mean that everything has changed. It doesn't mean that everything is smooth as silk, because it's not. But getting clear on that allows me a place to go where I feel like I can go home and resettle and take one more step. And sometimes that step is getting out of bed. Sometimes that step is saying yes to an opportunity to be on a show with Cindy Freeman. Sometimes that step is breathing, literally breathing, because that's all I can do at the moment. And so when we get to the point that we think that our purpose is too big for who we are, I invite you to think it's your mind saying that, not truth. Because we would not have been given that if we were too small. It is learning how to open up and allow and to partner with others and to use whatever opportunities come through to you, like, you know, Kat introducing you and I. I had stopped talking about purpose stuff or personal development stuff or whatever and focused primarily on business because that's the door that I come through. But every one of my clients gets a piece of purpose-driven stuff, even if it's not called that. Because I listened for their fears. I listened for the things that scare them and then worked to give them the tools to continue taking steps in the arena of business. And I believe very wholeheartedly that it is a part of how we can change the world is by changing how businesses are structured, run, and serve in that role of being part of the world and making a difference in the world. So that's a little bit of how that came to be, and I can't tell you the number of times I've walked away from it.
So what, you had it on the paper. You basically are saying, hell no.
Yeah, no way.
Yet,
ain't happening.
But guess what? You're here. So what, yep. What turned it around for you?
It's been little bitty steps at a time where somebody would say something and it would, or somebody would have a similar purpose and it would click. And getting the courage to live it has been a big piece, especially given some of the things that have happened in my personal life. And it has been an evolution rather than a revolution. And that's why I encourage people to take what little step they can. And it was like suddenly one day I said that statement and my stomach didn't hurt. You know, and my head didn't think, who do you think you are? So it was evolutionary and it was one step at a time. And I think it was learning to live with it and think, well, I'll tell you one place it did. I had a very, very serious life-threatening illness. And it was a temptation to say, why me? You know, why did I have to have this? Mm-hmm. And in that moment, a voice came into my head and said, why not you? And I thought, yowzer, ouch. Good point. You know, so would you wish this illness, would you wish this condition and this surgery and all these other things on somebody else? And I think that was really when I started settling in to that, and that was in 2010. That was in 2010. Okay. And so It has been an evolution, and many, many years ago, I had a situation where I was working with, I'm second level Reiki trained,
mm-hmm.
and I was working with my mentor, my sensei, whatever you want to call her, and it had a situation where I asked for a session with her for her healing gifts, and I had something happen that was so surreal that I didn't share it for a very long time, and I had fallen in love with somebody very deeply. He had broken up with me. I was just devastated. I mean, you know, pick my feet up off the floor seemed like more than I could do. And she goes, "Are you enjoying your martyrdom?" Because I was just going, "Oh, if I'd only done this and if I'd only done that and blah, 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 blah." She goes, "You enjoying your martyrdom?" I was like, And we ended up doing a particular type of healing session that she did, and we ended up walking back in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Only this time I had the big cross that we see, you know, the picture of Jesus having.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking to the hill of Golgotha, and I could feel the blood running down my face, and I could feel the terror of that time. And got to, and I may cry, I can feel it starting. Got to the bottom of the hill. Voice says, "You are not so special that I didn't come for you, and you are so special that I did. You can put down the cross. I've already done that."
Wow.
And I sat there stunned, because I will tell you that the voice I heard was nothing like I have ever heard before or since. And I felt it in every fiber, every cell of my being. And I laid down the cross and then suddenly had a group of people carrying me to care for me. And it was insanely hard for me to give up, because I felt like I had to take care of everybody else and to allow myself to be cared for and allow myself to be loved. I really think was one of the first steps in this process, and I haven't thought of that situation in years. Wow. And I never thought I was good enough, and it is the script that I struggle with most, is thinking I'm either too much or too little. You know, I'm not good enough or I'm too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning to accept that I'm exactly as I'm meant to be, and to listen to that voice has been the evolution. So there you go.
Yeah, those relationship things, you know? We think, why do we have somebody in our life, or why did they disappear, or why do they, you know? It's amazing how, you know, we those of us that work with this stuff all the time, you know, keep hearing, well, you know, I don't care what other people say about me, I just have to worry about me. But yet, when somebody walks out of your life, That saying just goes, you know, down the toilet, so to speak. You know, forget.
Well, and even more so, because we ended up married.
Wow.
We got back together, got married, and he left last year. Again.
Ah.
So it has been a tumultuous time. And when he left again, it was, you know, like the first time when he left. It just almost destroyed me. And because I had allowed my heart to open again, and it has taken the gifts of many, many people to help me reopen my heart and to even share this conversation with you, you know, is a testament to those people who stepped in to support me and to help me regroup and to, you know, step into that higher purpose. And believe me, I can rail with the best of them and have a pity party better than most of them. You know, so it is something that when I look at it and I see the purpose, one of the things that if you're going to help somebody else, you need to understand what it's like to walk in their shoes. And one of the gifts out of the situations I've had both with my health and with relationship is learning compassion and learning the proper kind of humbleness, not the kind that says you never say, yeah, I'm good at that, but the kind of humbleness that says I'm part of the human race and we all struggle and we all suffer and we all are here to do something so that I can remember and connect with those people who are meant to connect with me.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, some people who have been around this show for a while are very familiar with my losing my eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
And becoming legally blind. And, you know, like you in your situation, you know, I had people saying, so what are you not seeing? What are you missing? What are you, whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And without that situation, there's a lot that I would have been missing. You know, I go back and I look at that, and yes, I, you know, see enough now to be back in my interpreter program for sign language. But it also, the same thing, that compassion for a group of people, deafblind, namely, that I was, you know, I was afraid of.
Right.
You know, and you get that experience, and it, like, has more of an impact than just being around them or just hearing their story. When you get thrown
mm-hmm.
into that, when you get thrown into that, well, you have to experience yourself, like you said. It gives you a whole different angle from which you can work. So, you know, even though we don't want to experience it, you know, when it's happening and we're going, whoa, how do I get out of this really fast?
Yeah.
You know, it's something that...
Where is the nearest out sign, you know? Where
yeah.
is the nearest exit?
Right. And I'm not pass and go on this one, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
thank you.
you know, yet when you get on the other side and you can relate that experience to somebody else, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm guessing, you know, because I've heard it from other people and I feel it, you know, at the same time, because of that experience, you know, you wouldn't have missed it for the world because you're able to share something of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
with your clients and with people that you relate to every day.
Well, and the one thing it does, I can't relate to being blind. I'm not. I know what it has been like to have part of my vision disappear just because of medication I was on, and that's been a close
mm-hmm.
enough, you know, kind of experience.
mm-hmm.
The thing that I do know is that we get to choose. It sucks. I won't say it doesn't. I have the language of a sailor sometimes, and believe me, I've used it. I don't like it. It's not what I, on any conscious level, would choose. And I know that when all this first happened and people are like, oh, well, you know, you're meant to do this, or what are you, like you, not, you know, what are you not seeing, or what are you not, whatever. And you know what? I really want to tell them where they could get off.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're first experiencing that, you're not there yet. And if you do look at it as part of the ingredients for who you are, and that was one thing I said earlier when you were, you know, getting your thing set up,
mm-hmm.
is if you look at this as an ingredient in who you are, it helps you understand your role in the world. And sometimes where our purpose comes from is something that may not be so pleasant. We may realize it because of something not so pleasant. Or we may realize it when something just gels and centers. And I'm part of something right now. It's a movement, but it's also a project within that movement. And it's called the Permission Movement. And one of the things I know is that most of us have so many scripts in our head. You know, this is what a good girl does. This is what a good girl is. This is what a good boy is, you know, or this is what a good man is. And discovering the permission to be you, to be the powerful you that you are, is the piece that I think is so important at this particular time. And there have been times I have literally railed against coming into the world at this time. It's like, really, I couldn't come in at a really nice, peaceful time where I was rich and famous? Really? I chose this. Yeah, you know, people are like, oh, but you chose this. I'm like, really? I don't care whether I chose it or not. I don't want to do this.
mm-hmm.
You know? I don't want my fifth surgery in 3 years and a divorce, you know? I don't want it. I don't care. And I can choose. And I, on some days I choose to the positive, and other days I don't. But I do know that I get to choose how I tell the story of my life. And I get to choose whether or not I find the positive, the lessons, the study in it, or not. And whether you do or you don't, whether I do or I don't, is simply one more step. I don't think that there is one script, one way for everybody. And it's funny because when I do business stuff and when I write blogs and, you know, things like that, one of the things I talk about all the time is there is no one recipe that suits everybody. So wherever you are, whenever you're listening to this, what I would love for you to hear is that you have permission to be exactly who you are with where you are in this very moment. And whatever changes, you get to choose. And if you don't choose to change it, you're loved anyway.
True.
So I don't know if there's something else you wanted me to share on the call, but if there is, you just pop in there and tell me what you want me to share, and I will share.
You know, you're right. You will get the, we get the good stuff and we get the bad stuff. And...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, and sometimes people need to hear the challenges, too, to realize
uh-huh.
that, you know, there is the good stuff on the other side. Sometimes they need the good
uh-huh.
stuff to know that there is, you know, there is that to look forward to. But it
right.
all really, every day it does change, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we have to realize that, you know, I tend to try to find positive in just about everything. You know, my positive
mm-hmm.
is just coming up and all of that. I try to pull out something that's good, even in, you know, God forbid, a suicide or a car accident or the wars or whatever. You know, because there is something that someone else can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same
and whether
time,
it's positive or not, it's something to learn from it.
Right.
That's for sure.
At the same time, you know, there are days where, you know, it actually is more productive to stay in bed, work through whatever wallowing emotions we might have,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and just say, bye-bye, world. I don't need you right now.
Yeah.
I don't want you around me right now, you know. And I think those are the times where we tend to, I don't know, find ourselves a little bit better even.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I know that for me it was interesting because I have a very dear friend who has been my dear friend for almost 10 years. And when I was going through some of the stuff I was going through, I was immediately looking for the good in it. She goes, will you stop that? I was like, what? What do you mean stop that? She goes, stop it. I said, but, you know, I'm supposed to find the good. And she goes, absolutely, totally agree. I get it. She says, but you know what? You get to feel what you feel first. And it was an amazing gift that she gave me because I was so set, you know, on finding the good. I was so set on looking for the good. You know, I was so set into making a positive story that I wasn't allowing me to feel what I feel. It wasn't okay to feel mad. It wasn't okay to feel hurt. It wasn't okay to have a pity party. You know, that was the story that I had going, was that none of those things were okay. And the gift she gave me several years ago, actually, and it's taken me a while to actually take her up on the gift, shall we say,
mm-hmm.
Was to allow me the frustration, the anger, et cetera, and allow me a way out of it when I was ready. Now, there were some people that were ready before I was. And that's okay, too. And the thing that I think is really important is to learn how to be where you are. And if that is pissy, martyrdom, having a pity party, then you know what? You get to have that too. And you may need that part to start the healing process. And for me, I had the story going that, golly gee, it shouldn't take me a year you know, to deal with my divorce, or it shouldn't take me months to heal from the surgery, or, you know, whatever it was. And that doesn't help things. It doesn't help you heal. It just adds angst to it. And when I was hospitalized for the first time in January 2010, I had a tumor between my spleen and my pancreas. And it could not, nothing at that time that I knew of or whatever that would work. So it needed to be removed, and it was growing fast. And I didn't find out until many months later that it had been originally classed as cancer. It was later classed as pre-malignant. So I had maybe 3 to 6 months before it would have metastasized. You know, they can't say for sure, but, you know, that's probably, given all the signs, what it was. And that was in January, and in March I was back in the hospital. And turns out that my incision had leaked, and badly. I had well over a liter of fluid in my abdomen. And I got up, I checked myself into the hospital, you know, went through the processes, was taken up to the floor I'd been on for the surgery, and bebopping down the hallway is one of my nurses that had been there. And she looked, and then she looked back, and she goes, "What are you doing here?" She says, "Now, I want you to know something that you may not know, but all the nurses were vying to have you as their patient." I said, "What?" And she said, "Yeah, because you, even though you would be in pain, you were never mean. You know, you were working to do the best you could." And she said, "You know, that kind of made it nice for us." And she goes, "But let me just give you an idea. You're welcome to just walk on the floor and say hi. You don't have to come back in on a gurney." And I will say it made me feel good, because when I went into the surgery, I was in very bad shape. And I had had 3 weeks to prep for the surgery and had been doing some things around that. But my goal was to go in and try to uplift in whatever way I could, you know, given the condition I was in. And so for her to say that, it was such an encouragement to me, because it made me feel like I had been able to achieve that to some degree. And I know I didn't every day. And I know I actually yelled at one of the nurses one day because my pain meds were late. But I happen to have family members in the medical profession, so I know what they deal with. So my goal was to be, if you will, you know, as easy a patient as I could be. So it doesn't mean that those things don't come along. It doesn't mean that you don't resent the heck out of them, that you hate it that this has happened, that all this kind of stuff. But I do believe that we can choose how we live the situation and what we take from it. And if you look at those as ingredients in your recipe called purpose, what do you make of them? You know, and maybe there's a an ingredient that you choose not to put in again, but maybe that's the one ingredient that needed to be there for you to actually live your purpose. And the thing I would say to everybody listening is that even if you feel that you are too small for your purpose, you write me and I will write you a note. I call them permission slips from Mama. I will write you a note that says, "I hereby declare that you are the exact right size for your purpose. It's just your mind hasn't quite gotten around it yet, and that's okay too."
Okay. So what else do you do now? You coach.
What else do I do?
You allow
work
wise,
you mean?
People live, you have people live their purpose. So how do you work with them on a regular basis?
My specific role, this was an evolutionary process, was to understand that the way I help other people live their purpose is by making it easier to run their businesses, to put their processes and things in place so that they can run them, to help find the right technology for their thing, and to help get their message out. And so I have recently started claiming and owning what I call the Tame the Beastie model. And there's the Biz Beastie, which is all those things that it takes to run your business. You know, you need a place to take money, you need websites, and not that I do all of them, but I know how to put them together into a systematic way that they work. So that's one area in which I work. I have the what I call the content beastie, which is about feeding that ever so ravenous beastie that wants content, more content, more content, you know, every time a new social media site shows up or whatever, and everything we do, how we share with the world, this is content. What we're creating right now is content. So I work with people to make that as easy as possible for them to get out there. The fourth restaurant that I run, as I started calling it the other day, is the tech beastie, taming the tech beastie. You know, how do you get the right technology for what you need to do that fits with who you are? And that fourth restaurant is the mindset beastie, that, you know, that part where the purpose comes in. So I'm a very holistic person in terms of looking at how things are together. I'm very energetically based. When people tell me, well, I'm going to do this, I can feel when it's off base. I can feel when it's a match, you know, for them. And there's so many shoulds that people say, well, I should run my business this way or I should run my business that way. And I'm like, yeah, we're getting rid of the S word right now. So my goal is to help people who want to put their purpose into their business and to share that with the world, you know, via social media, program services, et cetera, is to help make that easier for them so that they don't have to work so bloody hard.
Okay. When you're saying you work with small businesses, is that as small as one? Is that
yes.
If you let people essentially, is it just business or is it individual life goals too?
I don't work as much on a direct focus. I mean, it always comes in because I tend to work with businesses. I mean, I've worked with businesses as small as one person and as large as Intel Corporation. So, you know, my span over the 30 years that I've been in business has been very large. When I'm working with those smaller businesses that are still owner-based, you know, where there's still the owner involved with the business, mm-hmm. I will do work with them on that life side of things. But I usually don't walk in through that door. I usually walk in through the door of business and how can we run it and, you know, reduce costs, improve ROI, get our bigger message out to the world. So that's how I tend to work with purpose-based businesses.
Okay. Okay.
I do have two clients who have been basically life-based. I call them life-based clients, you know, where that's mm-hmm. been their focus. But those actually came into play about 4 years ago, and they're still with me.
Okay. And yet, you know, everything that you're saying here very well speaks to life-based also, you know, so I want people
totally.
To make sure they pay attention to that as well. Just because you don't think you have a business, really you have a business of life and living
Amen.
What you're supposed to be. You know, your mm-hmm. purpose is your business, whatever that might be, whether it's working under someone else's guidelines and authority or whether it is working under your own in spirit or whatever else you might want to take as direction. So
there's a wonderful man named Chris Brogan, whose work I follow and a community I'm part of, and he talks about being an owner. And that is not just being a business owner. It is owning your life, owning what happens to you in your life, owning the outcomes, if you will, you know, based on the choices that you make, whether you choose to watch TV or go out and exercise or, you know, any of those things. And I love his model of ownership because it doesn't – you can be an owner inside of a company. You can own the job that you do, you know, if you've got a specific title. You can own the job that you do. And when you take an ownership role, it is different than taking a passive, oh, the world's doing me in role, you know. So I really love his model about how he approaches that because – if we take ownership of our lives, our work lives, you know, our partnership lives, whatever that may be, I think it is a way to stand in responsibility and be able to truly make transformations in the world. And the transformation may be in the world that is your family. And I think one of the things for me is I'm a very big picture thinker. And time I was really struggling because I thought, oh, how am I going to make a difference over in Africa or Germany or whatever? And then it occurred to me that by working with one person, they may be the person that ends up making the difference in Germany or
exactly.
Australia or whatever. And that my job was to work with those people that I was here working with. And I am so apologetic. I'm going to shift lines so that this doesn't beep again.
Okay.
Okay, I'm back.
Wow, that's louder.
Well, that's because I don't have my headset on.
Okay. Yeah, significantly louder.
I usually wear a headset because that's one of my other lovely challenges is I'm partially deaf in one ear. So understanding that when you say transformation, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to sit out and you have to get on stage and, you know, be the speaker of the century. That means you do what you do in your own life and around those people for whom you spend time and are responsible. You know, if it's your kids, if it's your husband, if it's your wife, it's you don't necessarily have to stretch so big that you're, you know, trying to reach everybody around the world. It is enough that you start with you. The rest will come.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go there with myself for a moment. But, yeah, I get it. I hear it. And, you know, it's one of the things we really struggle with, too, with the show. You know, the show is fairly small. I agree with that. You know, we reach about 200 people a week.
Yay!
And, you know, and it's great. You know, I love it. And, you know, we might only have 3 or 4 on here live on any given day when I broadcast, but there's 200 other people that go listen to it in archives, anywhere between 150
right.
to 2 and a quarter. And, you know,
how amazing.
Right. And who, you know, if it can change one person's life, it's worth being here every week.
Mm-hmm.
And it, the guests are booked through July, and there's still
a list
of people, you know, and the only reason I'm not booked further is because school will start sometime in August. I might have some activities and orientations and things that I need to deal with before that.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I haven't booked further is because I need to figure out what my schedule is going to be in the fall before I determine whether the show's going to stay with the time it is or whether we're going to move.
Right.
You know, so it's, like you say, you start where we are in any given moment.
Mm-hmm.
And go from there, you know, draw that little, put yourself a little dot on a piece of paper and draw that big circle. And, you know, it's going to take maybe thousands and thousands and thousands of dots to fill that circle. Wow. I don't know where I just got this graphic from. I'm going to be real honest with you. It just suddenly came. You know,
mm-hmm.
You put all those little dots in there, and that's each step that you take every day to get
yep.
to the edge of that circle and to get to the end of that big picture. And you know what? Every time that you get to that end, there's still another circle. There's still another ripple
yep.
effect that will take you further out into the world
mm-hmm.
and connect you with more people and with more things. And that's cool. It's a cool place to be.
One of my favorite stories is years ago, I've had my own business since 1988. It's been in different iterations, you know, different focal points, different things. And as part of one of them, I had written a white paper. And my business name several years ago was called Simply Written. And my specific focus was in the corporate world, helping companies deal with the, you know, the manuals, the training guides, the help files, et cetera. And I had a specific writing modality and methodology that I used, and I had written a white paper, you know, whatever you want to call it, and stuck it on the web. And just because my then partner was like, will you please write something up about this? I'm really tired of trying to describe it. Fine, great, wrote it, put it up there. At one point, I got an email from this girl. Had no idea who she was. She was from Germany. And she explains who she is, and she was in a class in Germany that was using that white paper as a training guide for two
wow.
weeks in their class in a German university. She is now my informally adopted German daughter. She has been to visit me several years in a row, spends a week with me or a few days with me or whatever she can spend. And she said something yesterday, I kind of feel like roles had switched, because when I first met her, she was going through some things, and she wrote yesterday, she goes, how could I ever not be there for you when you saved my life? And I'm not frequently at a loss for words. That one hit me. And it was the first time that I had done the kind of work with her that I did. It was all personal development work and working her through some, you know, pretty tough spaces. But it was interesting because of something I taught her. She taught the people that she hung with at work at the university. You know, and she wrote me one day and she says, "Oh, Mama, guess what? I did this." And I was talking about kindness and how kindness ripples. And a book that I had written at the time was called Kindness Ripples, 52 No-Cost Ways to Ripple Kindness Around the World. And we had talked about it. We had gotten on Skype before we met, you know, in person for the first time. And we had talked about how something as simple as a hello at the train station, you know, at the coffee shop, at the pub, wherever, could be life-changing for somebody. Mm-hmm. And she hadn't really ever thought about it that way, and her culture was more structured than what she was used to with me. And she texted me from a train station one day, and she said, "Mama, Mama, I did it, I did it, I did it." And I thought, what in the world? What did she do? She had gotten up the courage to say to this person behind the counter, "I hope you have a nice day." And she said the woman beamed a look at her that was like looking at the sun. It was like the first time somebody had noticed her beyond, you know, "I want my coffee."
Mm-hmm.
And what I had taught her is I said, what if you were the first and only person that day that ever saw that they were a human being and said hello? And what if by you saying that, that person goes home at night and they don't yell at their kid or kick their dog or cuss out their spouse or curl up in a hole? What if? What if all it took was you being willing to say hello? And it touched my heart beyond words when she texted me that. And I wished I still had it in my phone, but I don't. But it was like that, it doesn't have to be big, and it doesn't have to be huge. It can be taken in steps. And maybe that first step for you or your listener is to simply take one thing that you can do. And go step forward. And it becomes one of those dots in the circle that you described.
Mm-hmm. You know, what if by saying hello to somebody and making that person realize that they're noticed kept them from driving their car off a cliff that day?
Exactly. Exactly.
What if, like you said, it kept them from beating up on somebody because they were in a really bad mood and something just stopped them?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah, it was funny because when I wrote this book that I wrote, I talked about these different things you could do that would bring kindness to the world because one of my core values is loving kindness. And I talked about this one woman at a grocery. And yeah, I'd come through the line, and there was this elderly woman sitting, and I think she was probably waiting for a bus. And my heart just hurt when I looked at her because she just looked so sad. And I thought nobody should have to sit here with this many people walking by and feel that they're that alone. And, you know, people would just walk by her and step around her feet, and, you know, somebody tripped on her cane, so she pulled it back and everything. And I don't say this to make me sound like the amazing one, but it's just how small it can be. And I walked, and as I went to walk out, I looked at her and I smiled. And I said, "How you doing today?" And she beamed. It was like nobody had seen her. Nobody had even noticed she existed. And that's why I say it doesn't have to be big. If you are scared of your purpose and it seems like, oh, my freaking God, it's okay. One step. And maybe that step is for you. You know, maybe that step is taking care of you. Because women, I don't know what percentage of your audience is women, but I know I work with a lot of women, and we are notorious for doing for everybody else. And I want you to understand, if that is you, no matter your gender, if that is you, your first step is to take care of you in living your purpose. Because if you don't, you can't live it. You can't. So I want everybody to understand that no matter how big it seems, there is one step you can take. And eventually, like mine, you know what, 7, 8, 10, 20 years, I am in a place that I never dreamed I would be in. I never dreamed I would be on radio shows or doing interviews. You know, I'm just little old Indiana girl, you know. Who knew that I would know people in Australia and Germany and England, you know, because of the blessings of the Internet. So please understand that even if you think it is too big, you don't have to eat all of it right now. You don't have to eat a 10-course meal when you're hungry for a tapas. Enjoy the tapas and just take one step. Just take one step.
I think we have an affirmation out of all of that. Did you give me one?
I think you're right.
That you wanted?
I don't know that I did. I think I gave you a quote, but I don't know that I gave you an affirmation.
Okay. I think our affirmation, let's see. I am taking one step at a time and knowing that is exactly the step I am to take in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
How's that sound?
I am taking
one step at a moment. I'm taking one step at a time and knowing that is exactly the step I am to take in this moment.
I can get behind that.
Okay. I love leaving our people with an affirmation that they can go on and go for the week.
Absolutely.
Whenever.
Absolutely.
Whenever they need it. So.
And may I offer what's called an affirmation? Affirmation? Have you ever heard of those?
Sure. Go ahead.
The affirmation is, what if it is not too big and it can be simple and easy?
Okay.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate it. You know, I don't know if there's anything that you feel you need to add at this point other than how to contact you.
My website is mamaridnight.com, and there is, on every page of that site, there is a contact form that you can use to schedule a call with me. A new client has named them Kitchen Table Talks, which I dearly love. They are currently called Kick Your Problem in the Ass. but I like the Kitchen Table Talks, and those are at no charge to you. They can be scheduled from that site. If you want to write me directly, it's Mama Red, MAMARED, at MamaRedNight.com. And just tell me that you were on the show, and, you know, we'll go from there, whatever it looks like.
Cool. So those table talks are on your on the website?
There is a pop-up in the lower right-hand corner of every page of my website that is a scheduling calendar. And you can get on my calendar. You can send me an email from there, too, and I will get it.
Okay.
And it can be personal because I answer that email myself. It's not answered by anybody else.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Anything else we need to share? What's your next project? How's that?
My next project is being part of a collaborative book called Permission to be Powerful, which is one of the first projects of the Permission Movement. So I'm honored to be a co-author with 19 other women and working on that one. And then my other one is creating a business class. So there's my personal side, you know, my mindset piece is being assuaged, can't say that word, taken care of by that project. And then the other one is working on a course on creating follow-up systems to turn more contacts into clients with less stress and less muss.
Okay.
And I'm excited about both of them. We can't stay in business if we don't have clients.
Exactly. Yeah.
I call it taming the follow-up beastie. I like that beastie theme.
There you go. Yeah. And then you get those of us that, like, we have clients, but we give away all of our stuff.
Oh, I wouldn't know anybody else speaking on this call that has ever done that.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Say, where's the
remember
income?
The Pinocchio story? My nose just got about 3 feet long.
I figured, yeah.
And that is a piece of honoring you and giving yourself permission to charge what you're worth.
Yeah. Yeah.
As somebody said to me, Mama, you don't do us any damn good if you're living under a bridge.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, giving away isn't living under the bridge, though. But you're right. It's believing that you are worth what you charge. And,
yep.
You know, even if it's helping somebody, again, you know, I want to bring it back to the person who thinks, oh, I don't have a business or I don't want to listen. You know, if you're going to cut the neighbor's lawn, you know, yes, you can help and you can cut the neighbor's lawn. But mm-hmm. maybe when the next neighbor comes by and say, well, all you're cutting theirs, can you help me? Maybe that's the time you need to charge for it.
Mm-hmm. What or if, you get permission to say, no, I only have one slot available for that.
Right. Right.
Learning to say no is sometimes one of the hardest things. I don't know about you, but when I was a little kid, one of the first things I learned to say was no, and that wasn't okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
know,
exactly. You weren't supposed to be saying no when your mommy told you to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that you get to say no, you can be respectful about it, but you get to say no, even if it's just because you want to go in and watch your favorite show and eat bonbons and suck down ice cream. It doesn't matter. You get to say no. And learning to do that for yourself is honoring you. And the first step that comes, whether you're going to work this stuff in your life, you're going to work it in business, you're going to work it as a parent, as a friend, is learning how not to say yes to things that you don't want to, because then you can't say yes to the things that are yours to do.
True.
And if you say yes to everything, and believe me, my arm is waggling in the air. I have said yes to many things that I resented, I didn't like doing, I didn't want to do, but I felt I should say yes. And I'm here to tell you that the energy that goes around that is worse than saying no in the first place. Because I, you know, when I do something I don't want to do, I find excuses why I don't want to do it. I find 20 other things to do, even if it's clip my toenails, you know, or clip the grass clippings with my scissors or whatever. You find ways not to do it when you say yes to the things that you don't want to do. And you take away the opportunity for somebody else to do it who's really, it's up their alley. It's something that they like to do. And one time I was asked to be on a committee. I went to a Unity church in Chicago one time. This woman called me and she goes, oh, I'm going to sit down from this committee and you were the first one I thought of, you know, to do it because I know this, this, and this. And I was like, you know, I am so honored. And this, by the way, just for the listeners and for your sake, this is the first time I've ever done this. I am so honored by the ask. I really appreciate it and it means the world to me. However, that doesn't fit in my top five list right now, so I'm going to say no and give somebody else an opportunity to do this.
Mm.
And then I went quiet and realized what I had said. It was like I didn't know it when I was saying it. You know, I just
mm-hmm.
like kind of heard it. And I thought, oh, crap, because one of my addictions is people liking me. And she went really quiet, and I thought, oh, my God, what have I done, what have I done? And she said, oh, my Lord, that is the most beautifully worded no I have ever heard in my life. Can I steal that line?
Yeah.
And I will tell you that when I got done, I felt at ease, although my addiction to being liked by everybody was having a field day.
Well, just like the
field day.
Just like those words that were written on your paper, to come back to the
mm-hmm.
very beginning of what you said, those words that were written in not your handwriting
what came off
yep.
your hand, you
mm-hmm.
know, came through your mouth
yep.
at that point. You know, not in something that you would have. But, you know, it's a acceptance of what you are to be. It's the, you know, I very much say it counts on spirit. And whether you call it God or spirit or the
yep.
universe or whatever you choose to call it, you know, the angels, whatever, or the trees, I don't care what
mm-hmm.
you call it. You know, there is something beyond us that does, I truly believe, something beyond us that takes control when we let it,
mm-hmm.
that has, you know, those things that are better for us and puts us in these situations so that we find the right way to get in or out of them. And as long as
mm-hmm.
we pay attention to those voices and those words and those other things, you know, we're going to find ourselves a lot happier. You know.
I believe that's true, and I love it. I was talking to a friend one day, and she was working through this kind of similar situation, and I tend to use examples either from my life or from their life or, you know, from something I've read as a way to, as a teaching lesson. And this one particular time, her family wanted to go for a drive. It was the fall time, you know, where all the leaves are gorgeous and everything. And they were like, oh, I want to go. And she really didn't want to go. But she chose to go anyway. I said, how'd it go? How'd it work? She said, it sucked. I said, oh, what happened? And she said, oh, I just was so irritated, and they wanted to stop here and stop there. And I said, so let me ask you a question. Would you have been better off to say no in the first place than to go and be a biatch? And she said, point taken. And I think we tend to do that. And we cause more grief for ourselves, and we cause grief for those that are around us, too, when we do. And so, again, if you get clear, or as clear as you can, you know, what you know now may not be the same thing that you know in a year, in a day, in an hour, in a minute. But what you know right now is, I want to do this, or I don't want to do this, or this feels like a step toward my purpose. And that's all that matters, is that one step. And like I said, I don't know if you were on the call, but sometimes my one step was getting out of bed in the morning. That was
mm-hmm.
it. That was my step for the day.
Right.
That was all I could do. And so understanding that wherever you are, it's perfect, and you just take the next step.
Cool.
And on that note, I need to sign off to go to another call. When we're,
but I have,
you know,
I have a caller for you. I hate to do that.
You
to
do?
You. Yeah, I do. Can you take it, or you need to be somewhere?
I can.
Else?
I will. I can take it.
Okay, and I'm going to rattle off really quickly. If somebody wants to get on, 347-205-9074, 347-205-9074. In the meantime, I am bringing on Maria. Hello, Maria. Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio.
Hi, ladies. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hi, Maria. This is Mama Red.
Hi. So nice to be able to speak with you.
My joy.
What is your question?
My question is basically what the topic of the show is I know that I have a bigger purpose with my career and with my life, especially
mm-hmm.
with my career. But I procrastinate incessantly, and it's costing me, you know, my life. It's costing me all the opportunities
mm-hmm.
that I could be having and financial abundance and just showing up for life. It's just costing me all of that, and I really struggle with it. And I don't know. I mean, I have some ideas as to why I do it, but I really don't know why it's such a problem for me.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
What would happen if you stepped into it? What fear comes up when you think of, you know, stepping into this bigger role that you envision? What fear comes up?
I mean, off the top of the head, not having enough money to support myself as you know, being a freelancer.
Okay.
Comes up, not knowing what to do, never having, you know, having worked with other people, I've gotten into a different field altogether, but, you know, never really having run my own business comes up. I am in a group right now, like a group coaching session for everyone that's in my situation, but even that, although it helps, I don't always follow through with everything. I just procrastinate.
So what would happen if you followed through? If you actually had a step, let's say that I did one of my infamous, my clients know it is the infamous doable next step assignment. And my goal with those next steps is to make it so small that you could do it and finish it today. So if you were given a doable step that you agreed was doable, what do you think would stop you from doing it today? Because there's an underlying fear of what will happen if you take that step towards your goal. It's not the hows of running a business can be learned. They can be hired. You can hire people, everything else. So, you know, that's there. So there's a fear underlying what it will be. And I'm sure the money is one. And you know what? You don't have to make that leap off a deep pier. You can take one step. You know, you can work whatever. So what do you have tied to being successful and living this big purpose? What negative do you have tied to it?
You know, I don't know if this is the answer. I wasn't raised to have a lot of self-confidence. And
there
I don't
you go.
Think that people, my family that raises me, like, has a lot of confidence in my ability to be successful in anything that isn't safe or, you know, very, very conservative and safe. Yeah. But I mean, I don't.
Now, feel that one. Just in you, because I know what I'm feeling, but you feel into you and feel, does that feel like one of the stopping points? Does that feel like that stop sign that's on the road going, you can't drive your car further right now?
It does. It does. But I will say that I procrastinate in many areas of my life, but it definitely feels like that, yeah.
But if they are all, I will bet money. Even though, you know, I'm not in a coaching situation with you right now. But I would bet money that underlying them is the same thing, staying safe. You know, don't stepping outside of your wheelhouse, your gifts, your, you know, I said earlier, and I don't know if you heard it, my family's always was, you know, don't get too big for your britches. You know, who do you think you are to do something that big? You know, you're just a little girl from Indiana. And so the conversations that are going on in our heads are usually the basis of that procrastination. And the question I would give back to you to start asking yourself, no matter how big or small your steps, is when you go to take a step, here's the question I want you to ask yourself. Will it cause me to die? Seriously, I mean
no.
this. Will
no.
it cause me
no.
to die? So that's step one. If the answer is no, will I get physically hurt? Will I be emotionally hurt? When we are afraid of things, you know, those are the pieces that come up. And in our little girl minds, you know, from when we were real little, we've learned to protect ourselves, right? Our goal on this planet is to stay alive, not to go get our butts kicked. So from the time we were little, we learned safety mechanisms. We learned when it was safe to run our mouth. We learned when it was safe not to, you know, those kinds of things. So getting this clear in your head, you need to ask these questions so that that part of your brain goes, okay, whew, dang, I'm so glad Maria's not going to go jump off a cliff right now. Good Lord, I thought she was going to do something dangerous. So getting that part, it's like playing a game with your mind. The other thing that I would invite you as an opportunity to do is to find a place that if you were a little girl and you wanted to go play, you know, where would you want to go play? Whether it's the water, the woods, on a motorcycle. And every time that you think of taking that next step, no matter how big or small, that before you do this. I know there's that part of me that's here to protect me, and I can hear you saying, oh, you better not do this. It's not the safe route, Maria. And you say to that part of you, you know, honey, I've got this one. I'm an adult now, so how about you go out to play for a while, and if there's anything I'm doing that's really unsafe, you can come back. And send that part of you consciously out to play. It is your protector. It is how you've managed to be alive long enough to be able to speak to me on this show. and it has protected you. It's just that it's forgotten that you've, you know, gotten beyond the age of five. So use those couple things as a starting point to step into it. And when you procrastinate, don't beat yourself up. Ah, look at that. I'm procrastinating. Dang it. Okay. I won't do that for in the next minute. The beat up mode will keep you stuck.
When you feel yourself procrastinating and you know that it's hurting yourself and it's something that, you know, it's just things that pile up in your life, do you have something that you use to snap yourself out of it so that you can move forward? You know, you're not afraid of doing what it is. It's just like almost in that moment, it's a little bit of apathy.
Are you there, Maria?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you
want to make sure we hadn't lost you, hon?
Hello?
Yeah, she was asking. Did you hear her question?
I'm here.
Mama Red, did you hear her question?
No, I did not.
Okay. Maria, can you repeat that?
Yes. My question is, there are times when I'm procrastinating, like I will want to move forward, and I feel ready, but I procrastinate I sweat the small stuff. I procrastinate
mm-hmm.
the details. And it's not something where, like I need to let go of some things in my personal life so I freeze up more money to pursue this.
Okay.
Is there something that I can do when I don't want to just, you know, I know that I can't beat myself up for procrastinating, but I also want to put myself in a mindset where I can just kind of step out of that mindset and just move forward. And I don't know if you ever struggle with procrastination where you but you still need to get
Oh, my dear, we could be high-fiving each other from here to eternity as much as I've procrastinated. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that one more than we have time to discuss right now. But one of the things that I would recommend is that same game of sending that part of you out to play. Because at root, what I sense for you is it's safety, you know, and that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. But the part of you that is still little, that sweats the small stuff, is not trusting yet that you're an adult that knows what to do next or can ask the right person what to do next. And so first of all, before we go any further, I want to say congratulations and thank you for taking the step to ask the question, because that's huge. That's huge. And you get to honor yourself for doing it. And the other thing I would say to you is every step you take, celebrate it. Celebrate. Light a candle, do a dance, do a jig, sing a song. Look at a sunset, whatever it is, celebrate it, because it is one more step, and that is how you will break the hold. And you said something about your family that I also relate to, which is that safety zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that conservative side. I have a very conservative family. I am considered really wacko, just so you know.
Yeah.
And it is one that only gets pried away, you know, a little bit at a time. When they see that you haven't fallen off a cliff or, you know, aren't living under a bridge, they'll go, oh, okay, well, I guess that was safe. But if you look at it from the fact that it is their way of loving you and keeping you safe in the world, it allows you to keep taking steps.
That's the truth.
And so if you can honor them and say, thank you for loving me. Even this is, you know, this doesn't have to necessarily be in person to them, but in your mind. If you can say, thank you so much for helping me understand safety. Today, I'm going to take what feels like a risky step. And, you know, if you want to leave your job, you don't have to do it all at once. But the thing I will offer you and invite you to consider is my experience with the universe is when you start putting that out there and it's what you really want, you know, and it's where you're really meant to be, it will sometimes kick you in the fanny to get you there.
Right.
And so the more of it that you take the steps and say, I'm ready to do this, the stuff will come to you without quite so much, shall we say, pain and angst.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I've had that happen.
So I would invite you to create a list of little things you can do that are towards your vision and playing a bigger game. And take the one that feels the least risky. It could be, and I did this with one of my clients one time. You know, she was where you are, and I've been there and still in there on many a day, just so you know. And hers was to buy the URL that she would have for her business. She'd do a thing with it. She just bought the URL. That was a safe step. She wrote down what kind of clients she would like to have in her own business. That was a safe step because she didn't have to do anything with it. You know, she didn't have to give her notice to her boss or, you know, risk her family. So find some things that feel like you can do them without risking you. For now. For now.
Maria,
do you think...
Yeah. Is there anything that you can think of right now that you can do before the end of the day? That you're willing to challenge yourself on?
Yes, I put an ad up online offering to do, I just wanted to start freelancing even if I wasn't getting paid the first few times, and I put an ad up and I got a lot of responses from people who are interested, for individuals, and I can... that was last end of last week, and I can respond back today. And get
yes!
The ball rolling.
Okay. Honey, can I invite you to rewrite that statement just a little?
Okay, sure.
That was a huge step. Take out the word just. I just put an ad up. I put an ad up. That was huge. Celebrate that. You took a huge step by doing that. You put yourself out there, honey. And now you're right. Now respond to somebody, you know, with an answer. And not even if I do it for free, you deserve to be gifted. Energy, money is energy. Okay? When you start doing too much for free, people don't value what you do.
Right. Absolutely.
Go back and listen. If you did not hear that in the show earlier, go back and listen to the archive of the show because we did bring up that topic a little bit.
Okay, I definitely will.
So, are you on Facebook?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like you to go to the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group. Ask to join it. And when you accomplish that today, at the top of the page, there is a pin, which is this show and a discussion for the show. I would like you to go into the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on that pinned topic, put that you did that, so we can all congratulate you this afternoon when you finish that. Okay?
Okay. So I go onto your page, and I was typing in the Facebook.
Right. Purpose Talk Radio Conversations is the group. You have to ask to join, no big deal. I pretty much let people join. It's not a big deal. And then on the very first pinned post, it says, this is a discussion thread for today's show. I want you to add into the comments that you have accomplished that.
Okay.
When you do.
I will.
Okay? And then we can all congratulate you. And, you know, and sometimes just that little accountability is just all we need to kick us into moving forward.
Okay, I will. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Okay.
Maria, one last thing before you go. You get to congratulate you. You are hereby being given a Mama Red permission slip to congratulate you for getting on this call and asking the question, for putting the post or whatever you did, you know, the ad that you did, and for agreeing to put that accountability piece on the permission radio or on the Purpose Talk radio show. Congratulate yourself because those are steps and you're not procrastinating. You did it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
You did. And honoring those things that you do gives you the momentum and the energy to keep taking next steps. When you focus on the fact that you procrastinate, you do more procrastination.
Mm. I don't want to keep you on the phone. I was able to like it, but it doesn't say where I can join.
It's up in the top. It's like any other Facebook group. Just go at the very top. Just join group. Click on it.
Okay, I'll find it.
It's Purpose Talk Radio Conversations, not just Purpose Talk Radio.
Oh, okay.
Purpose Talk Radio Conversations is the group. Yep. The other is just the page for the show. Yep, we have two pages, folks, just to let you know. We have the actual radio show page where everything is posted, and then we have the discussion, which is the conversation group. Cool.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
And you are welcome to write me a note privately if you wish and tell me you've done it too.
Okay. I'll do that.
Just so I can celebrate with you.
Definitely. I like being accountable, so it helps me a lot.
Cool.
Yes, it does. It helps every one of us.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you so much for taking your next steps, Maria. So proud of you, honey.
Oh, awesome. I appreciate your help. I really, really do. Can't wait to post on your
You deserve
page.
It.
Yay!
Yay!
We'll look for it. Thank you. I'll put you back on hold so you can finish listening to the show then. Awesome. Well, thank you, Mama Red, officially. And I know you do have the other call, so I will let you get on that as I wrap up the thing. Again, if there's any last-minute comments, you're welcome to make them. And I greatly appreciate you stepping in again and both to start the host of the show and to wrap this up with us today.
My joy. And thank you so much for having me. I truly do consider it an honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day then. I will look for
you,
you
too.
On
Bye-bye
on the-
now.
Discussion. Bye-bye. Okay, folks. Well, thank you very much. That was Mama Red, and she is... Uh-oh, we just lost. I don't know if this is going to be on here. I hope this is still recording. That was Mama Red, and she was our guest today on Purpose Talk Radio. I thank you all for being a part of this show. And let's see, we have affirmations. We talked about some of the various things that can be done here on the show. And, you know, it is that first step, one step every single day that you can do to move toward your purpose and toward who and what you are meant to be. We say this every single week, but you know what? Every single week, it's just a little more reinforcement. And it is so great to have our guests that share their experiences. You know, what some people would consider positive and negative, whatever they are, their experience that kept them going and allowed them to find their purpose. So if you'd like to find out more about our guests, we do air every Monday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. UK. I hope you will come join us, at least until the fall. That's going to be the schedule. When school starts, I might change that. You know, we're looking for other people who want to be guests on our show. If you have a suggestion or if you want to be a guest as you are living your purpose, please do get a hold of me at Cindy at PurposeTalkRadio.com, PurposeTalkRadio.com. RADIO.com and Cindy, common spelling, CINDY. You know, I so greatly appreciate having this show. Every Monday it encourages me to keep going and living my own purpose, and that's why I do it. If you have a product or service that you'd like to share with listeners of this show, you can email me as well or go on our website and there is a tab for sponsoring or donating to the show. And we'd love to have you share your products or your services with our listeners. You know, anything that you might have that might encourage them or might help them to better live their purpose is welcome. So, coming up the road, we have, like I said, we're booked through the end of July, but next week I have, oh my gosh, that's the 23rd of June already. Wow. My guest is Deborah Lightheart. She is an angel reader
a health and wellness coach and someone who has owned her own business and does own her own business as well as homeschools her children, so that she has a lot to be able to share on how she's lived her life and been able to do it in a non-traditional way. Again, most of my guests are non-traditional. So the following week is the kickoff for Purpose or for Positive News Day, which is July 15th, and Positive News Month, which is all of July. It is a global initiative that I started last year to be able to change the definition of news so that we look at even those things that are traumatic, we find something that's good in them, something that we can learn from. Also on that day, Krista Bell of Bell's Muse will be giving away she's doing a drawing for all those that have helped contribute to the publication of this next magazine, the next issue that she's putting out. And she has a drawing for several certificates from sponsors and people who are involved with the magazine. I think she's got a total of 50 or 100 gift certificates that she will be giving away. So please get a hold of Krista Bell and Bell's Muse on any of her pages on Facebook if you want some more information about that. And you can check out the Facebook page, Positive News Day, if you want to find out more about Positive News Day and Positive News Month also. And like I say, going into July, we have a whole bunch of other people coming up. Oh, for those who missed Michael Ferrero a couple of weeks ago, he's been scheduled into August 2nd. He's a numerologist, and he will be doing readings that weekend. Also,